This talk is entitled Happy Endings. This is... so I'll say, explain a little bit why I came up with that. But so, happy ending, think of those sort of the Hollywood happy ending, you know, everyone's all right and everyone's happy and everybody gets what they want, and I don't know about yours, but my life isn't always quite like that. Well, maybe it's like that, it's a little bit sometimes, you know, for a while. If anybody wants to turn their phone off, if that's your, then feel free, otherwise we'll just let it go. And the Buddhist teachings are, I feel like one of the things that they're encouraging us to think about, to contemplate, is the possibility of a happy ending that doesn't relate or depend upon everything being sorted out, you know, in our mind, in our life, now in the world. So I guess I wanted to just open up that a little bit as a theme, as a question really, and just to see how that touches you. I think one of the main reasons I'm thinking about this, because this week is my last week in Finland, the last of 6 weeks. And so when I was pondering what to talk about tonight, so this is around and feels like maybe, and not just for myself in this particular ending that's coming along, but in what way it's an ending, I'm not sure. Which is also kind of an interesting question. What we call an ending. You know, what is that really? Conditions changing all the time. We have this convenient sort of beginning, middle, end kind of terminology, but, you know, it's like, where is really the ending of a breath? Does an in-breath really, really end? Or does it just become something else? So we use this as a convenience, don't we? But it can become very, very significant in our life in different ways. And I feel like maybe for many of us, you know, endings can be difficult. But they can also, I feel, be... No real opportunities. Real opportunities. You know, because this is what I was thinking about earlier today. If you anything that ends shows you often where you're clinging, where you're attached. You know, somebody you really admire does something really dumb and you feel like, oh no, I didn't think they were capable of that. You know, what something, do you see, something is ended, then it shows something you were clinging to, some idea about, you know, a situation, a person. Oh, it's not like that. Or something changes. So I want to sort of open up a few different maybe ways that we can, because I think it can be quite, I don't know, well, maybe we all have different relationships with endings. I know when I was doing my counselling training, we were taught to be really attentive to the endings of sessions. Really interesting time, and sometimes very significant things would happen, or you know, the thing that somebody would say as they had the hand on the door handle, instead of trying, oh, by the way, and how, so again, this kind of something about a consciousness of ending, or conscious endings, conscious finishings, or like bringing real attentiveness, consciousness to the end of a day. Or the end of anything, but just think of the ending of a day, you know, as you go to bed, and kind of what kind of consciousness or care with that would make that, if you like, a happy ending. Whatever's happened during the day. But then that's another thing to look at. That's another question that came to me, was like, how can I live this day so that when I do lie down to sleep, it can be with a peaceful heart. I think that's, you know, that whatever's happened, however well I've done or I haven't done, or I got done, what I didn't get done, what I'm worried about, you know, what might happen next week. Can we, you know, there's sort of something about making, the possibility of making a kind of peacefulness with our life, like making that a greater and greater priority through the day. Right? How we can also, like, what is it to really let go? We might die in the night. And how can we be in those last moments of consciousness that would really be for our greatest benefit? And I, something, some, you know, that sort of lying down, going to sleep meditation time can be really, you know, many, maybe different ways of going back over the day, of appreciating things you're grateful for. It's one really lovely practice. So. Because I think, isn't it, contemplating ending is one thing that really sharpens our appreciation for what you know, a day is, or the potential of that. You know, it's like you're not taking things so much for granted. Though we probably will have another day. But we don't know. We really don't know. So this meditation and all the Buddhist teachings, like, it's just like, in a way, they're all really to help us to let go, you know, to help us to learn how to put down the burden. One of my friends who's a Christian, who carried a very heavy burden for many, many years of a lot of anger towards particular people, and for her, as a Christian, part of her practice that really helped her was this prayer, or this practice of laying down the burden at the foot of the cross. And that's a very Christian image, and that may not work for you or connect for you, but something about this practice and this teaching being a putting down of the burden, the burden of holding and resentment and clinging and struggle and resistance, all of this kind of unnecessary stress and suffering that we all have the habit of producing on a regular basis. You know, so again, this isn't not to judge ourselves, this, but to have great compassion. But also to have this real faith in this possibility of being able to be present in our life in a way that doesn't kind of create that burden, or to live in a way where that burden can actually be let go, can be laid down. And not easy, but how can we let our life and our practice be a real celebration of that possibility of letting go. Now, taking our leave consciously from people, you know, I was thinking about leaving here, what was it that was really important somehow? And they came up with three things, and I don't know, these seem to me pretty basic things, but maybe relevant to all kinds of situations where of leaving, of leave-taking, you know, of saying goodbye in different ways, you know. The first one that came to mind was just that in whatever way feels appropriate to express love, you know, to express love and care, and like, you know, I really care about you. I actually really care about all of you. Those of you I know and those of you I just met. No, isn't that wonderful to feel that? And it's kind of being able to sort of, yeah, it's going to be sad. You know, I can feel it now. I'm going to be sad to leave. There's the attachment and the clinging, you know. And I have people I care about and I do tend to cling. And so another part of this that came to me that feels so important in leave-taking is being willing to feel the feelings, you know. Being, and that's okay. It's really okay. I think it's like, you know, I know when my foster mother died, it was really, really hard, that grieving, because there was so many different feelings. There was anger and rage and confusion and fear and, oh, goodness, I was like, I didn't. And it felt like the most important part of all of that was kind of trying to just kind of work on my capacity to feel it. And that where it really got difficult was where I just felt I can't feel this. And so trying to, you know, with meditation, talking to other people and all of that. And of course, not all of our goodbyes are that big and that difficult. But it feels like, you know, every goodbye, even a small one, maybe if we really kind of bring a lot of consciousness to that, kind of, that's that preparing us for the big ones. You know, it's preparing us to be able to express the love that we might want to express in that, to be able to feel the feelings, you know, all the joy and all the gratitude. That was the other kind of big piece for me, is about opening up to a sense of gratitude for, you know, my time here in Finland, or whatever it is, you know, for your day, for your week, for a conversation with a friend, you know, for a visit to the doctor, which was not very pleasant, but I was so grateful the doctor was there, you know, and all that skill and training that person had to offer you. You know, it's like, and then, oh my goodness, a bit of practice that. But if you think a whole lifetime, there's a lot to be grateful for there. We try and do it all at once, it's going to be overwhelming. Oh, it's like practicing the gratitude every day. So when we really want to be able to open up to that more and more, we're training in that. Because it's like I think that's not easy. It's strange, isn't it? Something as lovely and beautiful as the gratitude. It's like, oh, not always so easy either. I mean, I remember I went to a boarding school that I was very attached to, and every term, at the end of the term, I'd have to leave and go somewhere else. And I would walk round the whole school and all the fields and look at all the buildings and all the places and say, goodbye, goodbye, thank you, thank you, I'll be back. And just kind of, that's not even a person, it's a place, but it still felt incredibly important, you know. And I didn't really fully understand what I was doing, perhaps as a youngster, but I knew there was something there that was important. So Another thing I wanted to mention about, I think, I don't know if this is in your experience, but I think that the end of something significant, like a relationship or a job or the death of a loved one, or, you know, that it can sensitize you to some of those judgments you have about yourself that are not very nice. I'm probably not the only one. You know, you have that feeling of, am I the only one that usually aren't? But what I'm talking about is a kind of, you know, where you look back and you judge yourself. You say, oh, I should have done that better. Or if only this, if I hadn't, you know, or somehow, you know, maybe you don't do that. I hope you, you know, it's kind of, but just seeing all the sense of self that rises up there. I did really well. That bit that went wrong, that was all their fault. You know, maybe we have different habits of how we sort of place ourselves in relationship to what's past. Or, yeah, so it's, I want to read this piece by Sharon Salzberg. I'll try and explain a little bit more what I'm talking about. Okay, so maybe when something finishes, there's a natural, in a way, invitation to make a judgment, make an overall conclusion, and that can never be really accurate. You know, it's like, especially if it's a kind of a, you know, kind of one of those, oh, well, this means that about me, or it's like, that shows I'm a failure, or something like that. So what Sharon is saying in this quote, she's saying that we should have the faith to, okay, I'll just read this bit, to find out for ourselves what is really true, and not to make conclusions and judgments based on what she calls a distant slant we may occupy, an adaptive stance learned in childhood. Maybe we've all had these, like, instead of directly experiencing, say, an ending or anything, like, actually as it really is, we have this sort of stance, we have this slant, angle, perspective on that comes from maybe some conditioning that we've learned from very, very young, or through our family, education, wherever. Some habit where we're not really fully with how it actually is, but we're measuring, we're judging, you know, oh, well, I never do good enough. I never do well enough. So there's another one, you know. That's a very particular one. But, like, what is yours? Or what are your kind of these very core ways we maybe relate to life? Or that slight sense of I'm above, I'm sort of slightly above all of it. Because that's how we coped as a child. So there's always a sense of, like, I'm not really involved. So there's nothing really to say goodbye to, because I'm, you know, I'm sort of not really there. So do you see, that's a kind of adaptive habit that we might have from our childhood. What happens when we come really close to see what our actual experience is, you know? And of course, another thing about endings is to try and just avoid them, you know, just avoid it completely. Just, I don't know, try however, you know, not talk to that person, or just disappear, you know. So the encouragement is to come close, to see more directly what is true, knowing that we have the ability to find out for ourselves what can free our minds and make us happy. So to be able to actually not have our experience defined by past experience that is kind of manifesting as a specific judgment or conclusion into what's happening now. So I find this helpful when I can identify those sorts of beliefs or those perspectives, say it's just that, it's not the truth about me or about a situation. It doesn't mean that I'm no good or that I'm whatever, you know, all of that whole thing. And the other thing I think I find really, really helpful is to keep finding and reconnecting with the bigger perspective. So for example, with me leaving Finland, it's kind of, well, there's it's like that's not my whole life. I mean, nothing ever is, but it can sometimes feel like it. It's like there's a sense of, I don't know, I guess it's faith in the capacity to keep reconnecting whatever happens. You're in these different situations, and that you have this faith that you can keep reconnecting with life freshly and keep in that way, that faith to keep kind of discovering life freshly. So having this practice that helps us, these practices and these teachings that invites us to learn how to relate to our life from moment to moment, where we're knowing sights, sounds, smells, thoughts, feelings, we're knowing them all for what they are as they come and go, and that as we let go, in a way you could say that the happy endings is that there is this mind of non-clinging, or there's this compassionate presence through which our life can unfold and flow, and there can be this basic sense of okayness. It's like we're okay, it's all right, and that we can more and more find our, if you like, our ground in that awareness, in that presence, in that letting go, resting more and more into the flow of life, into that steady, equanimous, even kind of caring presence where we're not so much fixing onto, grabbing onto things, people, places, ideas, but we're able to let them release. So I just want to finish these few reflections with a piece by Jack Kornfield, who's a great American insight meditation teacher. And this is from a book of his called Living Buddhist Masters. And so this is one chapter, one very short chapter from this book. So he says, I have reserved a whole chapter to make a simple statement. The entire teaching of Buddhism can be summed up in this way. Nothing is worth holding on to. If you let go of everything, objects, concepts, teachers, Buddha, self, senses, memories, life, death, freedom. Let go and all suffering will cease. The world will appear in its pristine self-existing nature, and you will experience the freedom of the Buddha. So whether we contemplate the ending of this talk, or the ending of a day, the ending of a life, let it also be a contemplation of what it takes to let go, to let go of the causes of suffering, and what supports us, what makes it possible for that letting go to happen. And sensing the real possibility for us to really to understand that, and let that understanding bring great healing and happiness for our own benefit and for the benefit of all beings. Thank you for your attention.